5711.
Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. By the way, Adam from Arkansas sent me a note. He said he thought the numbers I gave him, the minimum wage, were wrong. Boy, I'm just going by the report that I was looking at. So I will go back and relook at it, Adam, and see what the deal is. But that's what... pretty sure that's what it said. I may be wrong. I might have read it wrong, but I'll go back and check it. Thank you for that. Anyway, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. So let me just tell you a little bit about what's going on. Oil, obviously, as we look at oil prices right now, anyway, as we continue to watch crude oil prices are going down. They're down about 1.8% right now, 45.38. Earlier this morning, they were 45.59. So they are going down. We're watching them drop a bit as they continue to go lower. And we are reading about a glut in global gasoline. And this glut in global gasoline is a result of U.S. exports of distilled products. Now, I have been an advocate for exporting distilled products for a long time. I was against passing legislation that was going to allow U.S. oil companies to export crude oil. I was one of the few conservative economists or analysts that was against that. Everybody that I know was for that and read about was for it. I have been against that from day one and that would go back the last 8 or 9 years. I know oil companies love it. It's a lot easier for them, a lot cheaper for them. My position was, look, if we export crude, we're exporting jobs, not just crude. Number two, if we export crude, we are exporting a much larger carbon footprint, if you care about that. And according to the people in Paris, everybody cares about that. So if you do, why are we exporting? The joke for me was that on Tuesday, President Obama signed the Paris Carbon Emissions Accord or whatever it's called. And then on Thursday, he signed a bill to export crude oil where it's going to be refined without even close to the standards that we refine here because of our EPA. So basically what he's saying, yeah, we're all about, you know, we got to stop this global warming. But at the same time, let's export crude oil so that India and China, they don't care a lick about pollution. They don't have time for that. They can't be bothered with that. Are refining it at very low standards. Didn't make sense to me. Not to mention, if we keep the crude and refine it here, we are keeping all the jobs here to do that, and let's export refined product. And if you followed me for any length of time, you'll remember well my conversations about that, because I didn't just say it one time. I said it constantly to no avail. But now, according to the report, we are exporting a record amount of refined fuel that is contributing to global glut in gasoline. Now, this is hurting some of the biggest members of OPEC countries as they prepare to curb their crude output in order to try to stabilize the markets. In the meantime, U.S. shale producers are becoming the largest producers of crude oil, along with the rest of what we're doing here in crude oil. And now we are seeing the market share that we are gaining in way of refined oil. This is a very good thing for America. It's a good thing for jobs. Now, China and the U.S., I mentioned this last week, are coming back to the table. Deputy U.S. Treasury Representative here, the U.S., is headed to Beijing on January 7th. Talks. These are going to be the first head-to-head talks since the G20 summit when President Xi and President Trump sat and talked in Argentina. So we're getting back. This is very good timing because China just released the fact that industrial profits sank in November to a China's industrial profits fell 1.8% from a year earlier, and that's compared to 3.6% in October. So this ought to be, and one would have to believe, that as we head into 2019, this is going to be an added incentive for China to negotiate, and we can get this trade deal done, a trade deal that can hopefully last throughout the ages. And this 90-day ban on tariffs, or this temporary restraint on tariffs, will be permanent, and we can get about the business of negotiating trade with other nations and finish up with what we need to in China and get our ag industry shored up and more secure. Speaking of ag, here's Greg Haugart.
This is Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn futures opened around unchanged yesterday and then sold off about 4 cents mid-session and really never recovered. Export inspections did come out despite the partial government shutdown, with weekly export inspections for corn at 39.2 million bushels, at the upper end of trade guesses, but well below the 49.5 million that we need to average to hit the USDA's export projections. Farmer movement seems to have slowed, with the board selling off a dime in the last week. And domestic processor bids remain under pressure for a couple of reasons. Number one, the on-farm movement from the rally in the first half of December, and an ethanol grinds that are slowing because of poor margin environments. In the overnight trade, we have spot corn futures trading 2 cents higher. Soybean futures fell to a one-month low as the market resumed post-holiday trading. Funds sold off 7,000 contracts of beans yesterday, and that put a lot of pressure on the market. South American weather continues to be viewed as optimistic, and production prospects look solid. Both Brazil and Argentina are receiving rains in some of the drier areas, and that should benefit crop development. The market is searching for signs of additional Chinese buying, but there haven't been any to be found here recently. The USDA has said that they will not be publishing details of daily exports. Well, the government operates during this partial shutdown, which muddies the water even further. The export inspections report was a bit underwhelming. Weekly soybean shipments were pegged at 23.9 million bushels, which was way under trade expectations. In the overnight trade, spot bean futures are snapping back a little bit and trading up 4 cents as I record this. The wheat market took a beating on technical selling and slow export demand in thin holiday trade. Black Sea wheat continues to dominate the global wheat trade, has been evident in recent tenders. And that was illustrated again yesterday when U.S. weekly export inspections came out at a very disappointing 20 million bushels. In the overnight trade, Chicago is trading unchanged. Kansas City is a penny higher, while Minneapolis is trading up too. March cotton futures snapped back a little bit on Wednesday as they closed up 95 points, settling at 73.50. In the overnight trade, we're losing ground once again, with spot cotton futures trading 42 points lower. Livestock futures had a mediocre session yesterday. February live cattle ended the session 2.5 cents lower, while February feeder cattle, the January feeders, were 72.5 cents higher. Lean hogs were slightly better, with February lean hogs up 7.5 cents for the session. Class 3 milk futures inched higher yesterday, with January futures closing 2 points higher at 14.19. In the overnight trade, we have a continuation of that with Class 3 January milk futures trading 3 points higher. Well, this has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back.
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning, receive our regular email alerts, and have access to Dan's asset allocation models. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the Ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
I was definitely a skeptic at, joining Samaritan Ministries because I didn't understand it. I was used to the traditional system, so I was afraid.
I thought, what if this doesn't work? I mean, we're going to give up this whole concept of insurance, and we're going to trust God and His people? And it was like, yeah, well, of course.
What we pay every month is about 30% of what we were paying in insurance. And what we get back is so much more, financially, of course, but spiritually and with the care of the community, you can't touch it.
We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing.
In November of 1620, the Pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association,
bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. We'll get right to phones. We've got lines open. Again, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mark. Mark's calling us from Louisiana. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Great. Listen, in fact, I just want to mention, I have a daughter who lives pretty close to you at Haverton.
Oh, wow. Yeah. My wife grew up in Haverton.
Great. Yeah. Well, she's down here for the Christmas and New Year's holiday, so we're going to be shipping her back up there this coming Sunday. Okay. So, listen, I have another daughter that's single, and she's about 32. She's been working in and out of the government for about 4 years, and she showed me her TSP account. She's going to be out of government starting January 1st, and she has about $30,000, and it's all in the G fund. And I was wondering if the market is right now for me to start maybe moving her into, what would you recommend for some growth?
Yeah, I mean, I would move, I would get it all but 10% of it. I would get it in the C and the S fund.
Okay.
I would probably look at the majority of it, maybe 60% of it in the C fund. And, the rest of it in the S, 10% in the G fund and the rest of it in the S fund. And, you know, it's pretty aggressive, but, it really makes the most sense for somebody that's still in the workforce and is, a ways away from retiring. By far, the C and the S fund, by far their best performing funds when you look at a long-term perspective. Some would argue that you could go in the iFund with a little bit because it's getting clobbered and it is beaten up. If you want to put 5% in the iFund. But long before the iFund was getting beat up, it never did that well. So I don't, you know, I wouldn't be crazy. You could probably do pretty good maybe riding it back up with a little bit of it, but it could be a while before it gets back up. That's an international fund. But I would stick to the GC and S fund, and that's where I'd want to be.
Okay. So what exactly is, I mean, I'm not familiar with the C fund as compared to the S fund.
The S as in Sam? Or the
right.
F?
You said F.
Sam? Yeah, so there's an F fund as in Frank. There's an S fund as in Sam. So I'm talking about the C and the S as in Sam. So the S fund is a total market fund, pretty much. It's got, you know, almost every stock in the market, U.S. market. Some of them are multinationals. But it's got small cap, mid cap, large caps, you know, everything in it. The C fund is a little bit more blue chip-ish. A little bit more stable kinds of companies. The performance between the two in the long term, very, very similar. But there is some diversification there, and you're getting more of the market in the S fund. So I think having, you know, a healthy amount of both of those is not a bad idea.
Great, great. Well, I appreciate all the hard work you do.
Sure.
And the ministry, and like they say, we in ministries, you know, we don't get too much down here, but the retirement benefit is out of this world.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that, brother. Thank you, Mark.
God,
I sure do appreciate
it. Have a great new year.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless. Same to you. That's great. Let me go to Tom. Tom calling us from Texas. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dan. I have just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
For you. I'm looking at
sure.
your. I'm 65, and I'm looking at your asset allocation. And I found the. Uh-huh. And I have a TD Ameritrade account, and I found the Timothy fixed and the Timothy Israel. But I'm trying to find the Timothy deferred strategy and one of the others. They don't seem to show up in my TD Ameritrade. Am I doing something wrong?
No, I don't think so. You know, the way I understand it, and boy, I get so many different views on this, and I guess I'm going to have to investigate. But as far as I understood, it's one of the reasons why I mentioned TD Ameritrade, that they carry all the Timothy funds. Now, if they don't, I want to know about it because I'm going to stop talking about them. But as far as I know, that all the Timothy funds are available through TD Ameritrade and E-Trade and Fidelity and all those ones. So you should be able to get,
you know,
defensive strategies.
Place up there where you get a quote on it, and you put the Timothy fixed in, and it comes up, and the Timothy Israel comes up. But I put the Timothy deferred strategy. Is that what it is?
And, no, defensive. Defensive strategies.
Is that defensive strategy?
Strategies.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the other one? Deferred Interactive? Is that what that is?
No, there
is INTER.
Boy, I don't know. There is no deferred strategies. There's no fund by that name.
Timothy INTER?
I don't know these symbols. I should,
is that Interactive or something? Or okay, well.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Is there a symbol for this defense strategy? Do you have the symbol for it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a symbol for it. I don't know what it is off. I don't know what it is off the top of my head here, but I'll try to get it for you while I'm talking to you. But yeah, so if you go, you know, if you go on my website under mutual funds, you'll find all of them, you know, all of them in there, you know, and you'll see the symbols.
If
you just go to to that site, but you see all of them in there. So I would check that out. Deferred strategies might be up in short-term bonds. I'm not sure, but it's in one place. It's in one place or the other, and you'll find it on there. Yep.
Okay.
And it then, is in the bonds. Here. It's TPDAX, by the way. TPDAX.
TPDAX.
Okay. Yes.
And then on your stock list on your list on the website, the ones that are highlighted in blue, what does that represent? I'm not sure.
They're income funds.
Okay.
They're funds that generate income. That's for the income portfolio. If you're in the income portfolio, that's what you're looking for, is that highlighted in blue.
Okay, but all right, but you have a lot of them listed in a row there, and some of them are highlighted, some of them are blue, and then some of them are just plain white.
Yeah, the blue are the ones that are income portfolio stocks.
Okay.
Or income.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I appreciate your help.
Sure thing. Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Have a good one, Tom. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let me go to Robert. Robert's calling us from Texas as well. Hey, Robert.
Hello, Dan. I've got my question is, with the markets kind of down, I have had my money in Fidelity, and they're watching it for me, and it's kind of down. My question, I was thinking about rolling it out to maybe put it in a CD for a short period of time, or should I just leave it in there and see what happens first of the year? That's my question.
Well, are you a long-term investor, Robert?
I am fixing to be 63, and yes, sir, I've got it in a fund, diversified and kind of it's not very aggressive. It's went down quite a bit, about $10,000 in the last couple months or so. And I'm paying these guys to watch this, and it's kind of, I need to either become a partner and learn this, or I'm kind of frustrated. It seems like it's a lot of money.
Well, everybody's down. That's fine. And again, if you're a long-term investor, I wouldn't be waiting for anything. I'd be looking to get more invested, not park it in a CD and wait until it goes up high and then buy back in again. You're just going to keep losing money doing that. I mean, you now is the time that you should be looking to get in when it is down $10,000 or your portfolio is down that much. I mean, this is the time to be buying. Not a time to be sitting on the sidelines. And it's what I said in the beginning of the first hour. I was talking about my conference call last week. I said, man, if you were on that conference call, you remember what I said, right? Like, if you're sitting on the sidelines, I don't know what you're waiting for. You need to be getting in, like, now, today. And so, that still holds. So, if we are truly going to be investors and we've got this 8 to 10 year time horizon, then we need to be looking at this, what's happening in the markets right now, today, what's happening in the markets, as a time to be, getting in, getting stronger positions in, because you've got an opportunity that you may never have for another long period of time, where you've got valuations of companies. Now, I can't speak much on just mutual funds, but valuations of companies are as good as they've been in a very, very long time. And this is when you want to be an investor to get in, not to stay on the sidelines. So I don't know what they're watching or what they're waiting for, but you might want to talk to them about that and, see what you're in. But if you're a long-term investor, and again, I don't know what they're using, I don't know what they're putting you in or anything like that, but this is a time to be really thinking about investing. Right?
Okay.
So I tried and help. Yep.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you, Robert. God bless. Yep. 844-707-5533. We got an hour and a half left if you want to queue your call. You're welcome to do that. By the way, we will take a short break in the next hour.
Being a business owner or entrepreneur can feel lonely. Unless your friends have walked the same path, they just don't understand your passion. How many times have you been asked, when are you going to get a real job? And when you finally do make it big, all of a sudden the doubters tell you they always knew you would. Does this sound familiar? You see, at BizBot, we understand the road you're on because we're on the same path. That's why we created a club just for you. Meet other people on the same path you're on and get content that will help you grow your business. All for only $49.95 a year. And if you join today, you can get your first 30 days free with promo code RADIO. This is a limited time offer, so try it for free, and who knows, you might be able to help other members. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code RADIO.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done! Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Can I be just for a second, and a very brief second is all I can take, but I just for the sake of sarcasm and a comic relief, can I be a CNN reporter for financial reporter for a second? So here's what's happened. First of all, the consumer confidence number came out. Do you remember me talking about it yesterday? I said it's coming out tomorrow and all that. And I said, look, if it goes down 10, 15 points, it's really not going to make any difference. Remember me saying that? So I love the liberal press because I'm reading something from the liberal press. And if I were a consumer, if I were a CNN financial reporter, it would sound something like this. Confidence is now at the lowest ebb since July, putting the index almost 10 points below an 18-year peak set in October. Oh, this is bad news. First of all, I love this because that's probably what you're hearing right now. I love this. In the same sentence, this is a very liberal, this is what I'm reading. So this is this in the same sentence, this is all one sentence, in the same sentence, they're saying that it's at the lowest point since July, which is kind of ridiculous. and it's down 10 points since July. That's true. It went from 136.4 to 128.1. But then in the same sentence, they say, below an 18-year peak. It's still at an 18-year peak. It's still the highest anybody has ever seen in the last 18 years. We see consumer spending through the roof, retail sales through the roof this Christmas season. They're talking about consumer confidence being really low and trying to scare everybody. At the very same time, they're reminding everybody that consumer confidence is at an 18-year high. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But this is the kind of reporting that you're going to hear talking about this as if everybody forgot that President Obama couldn't get it over 80. Drives me nuts. You know, and I don't know this. I didn't even look. I guess I should have, and I'll look at it now. I don't know. It's too late anyway. Look at it now. I don't know where the markets were before this number came out. Markets were very negative at the opening this morning. They were down 1.5%. I'm looking at them now. They're still down just over 1.5%, or at least the Dow. So, I don't think the markets really cared much. This is a great number. We should be so lucky as to have a 128.1% consumer sentiment index number. Wouldn't that be great if we just had that? If we had 100, 28 points lower than this, we had just 100. Think about how good that would be. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that. All right, let me go back to phones. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Josh. Josh calling us from Illinois. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Dan. Hey, thanks for your ministry. I've been a partner for about 3 years. And anybody who's listening that's not a partner, they really should be. It's well worth it. So thank you. Do you have an opinion on General Electric?
General Electric, yeah, probably the same opinion I've had for a number of years. General Electric is a mess. They're a mess on almost every front, from a leadership standpoint or lack thereof. They still don't know. This has been in the Dow, 108 years or something like that? 120-year-old company, give or take. And they still don't know what they want to be when they grow up. Their financials are horrible. They've got no vision. They don't have any guidance worth a lick. Back a year ago in Richmond, Virginia, I said to somebody, I guess it was a year and a half ago, that GE is going to hit $7, $8 a share. And because there was a lot of workers there from GE. Oh, no. And I said, I'm telling you, it's going to hit $7 or $8 a share. Today it sits, I just looked it up, $7.18. So this is a horrible company. It's not a company I would want to buy into under any conditions. Maybe they're going to try to position themselves for someone to buy them out at some point in time. That would be nice. Maybe they don't make it. I don't know. They've got some divisions that are going to spin off at some point in time. If it's looking like they're not going to make it, like their turbine, engine division and things like that. But for the most part, it's just a horribly run company and horrible financials.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I didn't know what your take was on that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. And they're not biblically responsible, so they haven't been on my list. Last time they were on my list, I remember it well. The last time they were on my list was in 2001. I think it was 2001 when they came off my list from a biblically responsible perspective. But I still follow it. I can't help it. Let me go to Amber. Amber's calling us from Texas. Hey, Amber.
Hi. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I was just calling to ask about my son. I want to get college fund started for him. And I think I've heard you talk before about a Timothy plan. I was just kind of wondering what I know there's another fund that's like the lunch meal plan or something like that. And so I was just wanting to get your opinion on what kind of
Yeah, Texas has a couple of great plans, and I would consider Texas has a couple of good plans. They have 529 plans. They have a prepaid college plan, but the catch there is that your son has to go to a state school in Texas. That is a great plan from a financial perspective, and Texas has some very, very good state schools. So I would look at those first. Look at what they look like. Here's the downside to that. There's a possibility your son graduates from high school and says, you know what, I want to enter the workforce for a couple years. I need to, I'm going to go into the trades, which would be admirable, a great thing. Maybe I'm going to go into the military, whatever. And so there's a possibility that, that would be a problem in that for you to recoup the money that you've saved for college. You would lose any tax benefits and have to pay tax on it, things like that. And that's the downside, because it does kind of pigeonhole you into a place where, you're going to go to college. They're definitely going to go to college. And I don't have to tell you, a lot of things can happen between now and the time your son is 17 or 18. So that's the downside, but they're very good plans. If they do go on to college, your children, they go on to college and they become, they want to stay in the state of Texas, you've got some great opportunities. So I would look at that first. Aside from that, yes, Timothy plan, any kind of savings from especially if you're going to be contributing on a regular basis. Not when I say regular, I don't mean every single week or every single month, but throughout the year, you're going to contribute a couple times to this. Then, I would look at just getting a good solid growth fund with Timothy, and put money into it as often as you possibly can, and just kind of forget about it and just continue to contribute to it. Look at it during the down years as an opportunity to try to put a little bit more in it than you normally do, to get some of that on sale and all those kinds of things, and keep doing that for 10 years, and then probably in 10 years start shifting that over to something a little bit more conservative. But I think that would be another good route to do. That would be something that you would have total control over, but you wouldn't get the same tax benefits should you end up using that for college.
Okay, thank you. And when you say after 10 years, then shift it to something more conservative, what does that mean?
Well, now, I don't know what that would look like then 10 years from now, what kind of fund would be the best thing to do. But what I mean by that is that it's time to start thinking about the fact that you're now, 4 years away from going, needing to use this money. So now you're to the point where I want to get at least 50% of it and start moving it over to some things that aren't going to be as volatile. In other words, if the markets go down in 2 years, you're not going to have to go down 2 years and then wait 3 years for it to come back up and then some, because by then your son will be starting school and is going to need some of that money. So that's what I mean by at some point in time. Right now, at this age, you want to be fairly aggressive, get into nothing but growth, and then at some point in time down the road, shift to becoming a little bit more conservative.
Okay, thank you. And my sister, she and her family are all about CDs. What is your opinion on CDs for like a college fund type thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the big benefit to that, obviously, Amber, is they don't go down. They're always going to be the same. They're going to earn a little bit of interest, and that's a good thing. You're never going to lose money. And if you think that you're contributing a fair amount of money every month or every year, and that might not be a bad idea if you don't have any risk tolerance of being able to deal with the...
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning. You will also receive our regular email alerts to give you updates on things you need to be alerted to, like economic data that could change how you should be treating your investments. And, of course, we might be alerting you to buys or sells you should make. You'll have access to Dan's asset allocation models and have opportunities to adjust your portfolio accordingly. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Slow. It's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, iComp Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
98.91.
And Leafs, Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533. We've got another hour and 10 minutes. If you want to queue your call up, you've got a question on Facebook or YouTube, our YouTube channel, FISM.TV. You can get a question to us, and we'll answer those as well here in the next hour. Phone lines are open, 844-707-5533. Let me go to... Texas again, Mrs. Martin.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And
sure.
What I have here is an indexed annuity. I took it in 2010, and it. I was wondering if I can draw from that and not have to pay taxes on it. I'm way up.
Well,
in,
was it? Was it set up with IRA money, do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
IRA, you mean, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of times people roll IRA accounts into an annuity or
This is just an index annuity that, see, I was almost 85 years old. I'm 93 now. And almost 85. So I had this extra little bit of money, and I was going to put it into a savings. And this one that I went to that was recommended to me recommended the index. And so all I know is what's on in writing. He didn't go into a lot of details of the future of it. And sure. So it appears to me each year at the end of each year, pardon me, they send me a notice of how it's doing, and it appears to me that the riders are the ones that's getting, they're getting some income from the balance on it, you know, whatever is in it. And it doesn't seem to be growing like I thought it would, like I was explained whenever I got into it.
Yeah.
And I'm on Social Security, and I never go over the household index, you know, for taxes. And I was just wondering if I got this, by pulling some out of this, would I have to declare it in the tax? I'd have to declare it as income, but would it be taxable just by taking it out of the index?
Yeah, not all of it would be taxable, but okay. Some of it would definitely be taxable.
Uh-huh.
There's interest and gains that you've made that would be taxable. It would be taxable to you, though, as capital gain, I believe, which means it wouldn't impact your income. So you would still have to pay tax on that. So I would, and the other thing is, now I suspect that over the last several months that it is probably down from where it was at the beginning of the year, and it might be a good reason why you might want to move it out and put it into some sort of CD at the bank, which would be far better for you, safer for you, and easier access for you. But you will have to pay a little bit of something, you know, taxes on some of the money that you take out.
Well, when he explained it to me at the beginning, he told me it would never go below 5%. But then it has. I mean, that's been contradicted.
Yes.
And someone told a friend of mine had one, and they said that they could draw out of it a little bit each year. After a year, I think they could draw a little bit out each year, and it would not be taxable. But I hadn't kept up with that information. I was just, you know, that was just in conversation. But what I'd like to do, since it's just sitting there, and I've had it since 2010, if I can draw out of it each, like I said, draw out of it, would I have to draw out of it each year, or could I just draw out of it as I needed it or wanted it?
No, you could just draw out what you need.
But I'd have
the only way you would have to the only way you would have to draw something out is if you went on some kind of annuitizing the annuity, which means that you're gonna receive an income for, you know, a period of time or the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Once you annuitize, I wouldn't recommend you doing that, but that would be the only reason. So you could just, if you needed $500, you could just take it out.
Mm-hmm.
If 6 months from now you need another $200, you just take it out. Yep.
Okay, but I would have to pay taxes
on some of that. And they will tell you when, if you call there and say, I want to take $500, they will tell you how much of that is going to be taxable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they would send it. In other words, if I take any out, that would be sent in on my Social Security number. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Well,
yes.
You know, it was really kind of deceitful whenever I took it out. He may not have meant it that way, but I guess it appeared to me he was just wanting to, you know, it was a financial company that did it, and of course they get paid for writing them up, but then he told me at the end of 10 years, I would be able to, it was mine, and I wouldn't have to pay anything on it, but I've found out differently since then, so...
Yeah. You should have never been sold. You should have never been sold an indexed annuity. I mean, that should have never happened. It was wrong for that to happen to begin with, and only because of the age that you were when you were sold that. So, but nonetheless, this is why I don't like these annuities, because they're never what they are perceived to be. Now, you didn't do anything wrong. You were told something and you perceived it to be a certain way. I suspect that was intentional, so that you would perceive it that way. and do it. And that's the issue that I have with them. It's not the product itself. It is just, you know, the way they're sold. And if they're sold correctly, a lot of people might come to the realization that this is not something I'd want. So, but I would suggest that you start taking some of the money out, and what you don't need, you put over into your savings or a CD.
One that can hold this person that sold it to me accountable for misappropriations there for asking.
It's very, very hard to do. These companies that write that policy that you have, you know, they always fall under investigation based on selling practices on a regular basis. There's always three or four, I know of two anyway, that are under investigation right now. So there's always some that are under investigation. Nothing ever comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything ever will come from it. But it's the state insurance commission that you would have to complain to. And you'd probably wouldn't get anywhere because they would say, well, she signed the contract, you know, and in the contract, all of this is explained in very fine print. So, you know, that's the problem. So,
mm-hmm. And into another thing the company that I started with sold out. It's been sold out three different times. You know, the different companies.
Yes, that's what happens.
It sells to another company, company. Well, I didn't like that, but then, of course, I'm into it. I'm trying to get out of it. If I can start drawing out, and like I say, and get this down, it would also give the writers less income, wouldn't it, by getting the balance lower?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Getting the amount of money that's still in there, it would give them less, would it not?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, so you need to start doing that. Thank you. I'm glad you called. I appreciate it.
Well, thank
you. And I hope that was a little bit of help to you.
Yes,
you're welcome. God bless you.
You told me something in there about him shouldn't have sold it to me at my age.
Yes.
And someone else told my son the very same words. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
About.
And God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you. 844-707-5533. We've got another hour. We'll get to calls in the next hour. If you want to hang on there, that'd be great. We'll also get to some of the social media questions. So we are going to go to break. I just want to remind all of you that we are trying to finish the year as strong as we possibly can. We hope you will help us and participate in that. We are short of our goal, but who knows? You know, we're not going to really know until probably the end of the first week of January when we get all our mail in and all those things that are postmarked on December 31st. But if the Lord is nudging you to come alongside us here in the ministry, man, we sure would appreciate it. It would be an incredible blessing to us. And as you think about your year-end giving, and you can go to financialissues.org and just click on donate. And we sure would appreciate it so that we can stay strong, finish the year strong, and I'm sure we will. God has been good and will continue to be so. We know that. We feel confident of that, and we're glad that so many of you have come alongside us. We sure do appreciate it. Folks, we've got another hour left. I know some of you have got to leave us here. We will be back tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow is Friday, and we will try to do a rapid-fire Friday. We'll get a lot of your calls. We do have another hour left here today if you want to stick with us. I hope you'll do that. But if not, I sure hope, especially as we head into a new year, that you keep mindful that everything you have is His. It's all the Lord's. And we just continue to pray for the grace of our Lord and Savior, and I continue to pray that you will be mindful of your stewardship. Have a great day. God bless. More financial issues right after this.
God, then we will be a nation.
Want more business content?
Yes!
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 You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month.
The promo code for your first 30 days free is TV. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand.
Happy holidays from BizTV.